My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Your donation made over these 2 days supports the incredibly important work of the physicians and researchers at Dana-Farber and the work that they do, not only when it comes to saving lives and extending lives, but what they do with those who are fighting cancer to take their mind off what they are going through from time to time. And it's extraordinary. We get the opportunity every year to hear some incredibly inspirational stories of those who are in this fight. And we'll do that over the next couple of days. If you have yet to give, you can do it now by calling. What was that? Who did I hear talking? What's that? Oh, thank you, Griff. Appreciate that.
All right. Bring me along.
If you want to call, you can call 877-738-1234. Or if you want a text to give, you can just text KCANCER to 20222 to donate $25.
It's very easy to do. I've already done it this morning. Texting 20222.
Okay. Did you get approval from Santo on that?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
I actually used Greg's phone.
Do you have separate bank accounts? I can't remember.
We have a joint bank account, and then we both have separate debit cards.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. For the shopping purposes.
But they all go to one state.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I see. Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you review the statements at any point?
I do not.
Does Santo review them?
There are times where...
Comments on spending?
I mean, not frequently because I do make money.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, that's true.
Multi-year lucrative deal. Thank you, Kevin Laird.
Good job, Ken.
There you go.
And Courtney.
Exactly. Thank you.
Exactly.
Plus, you don't have to tell your man where your money's going.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
It's coming out the same thing. You know?
I mean, DMs and I were talking about shopping, and DMs shops at pretty nice places as well. So
she also makes
her own money.
She makes her own money.
Okay.
Independent.
Independent. I-N-D-E-P-E-N-T. You know what that means. She got her own house. She got her Honka.
All right. Well.
And Bullet doesn't pay for himself, you know, Wiggy? You missed it.
Yeah.
But we found out yesterday that Bullet maybe took some time alone and ate both of Greg's clickers.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I
the remotes.
That's not public behavior, though. You have an
yes.
issue with the way dogs behave.
Yeah, public. Public.
Moving the goalpost.
speaking of goalposts moving,
ooh, football.
Joint practices begin today with the Eagles, and Wiggy is hoping against all hope that he gets to see Drake May at some point with the ones.
Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, what the hell are we doing here?
That's what Bill Belichick said yesterday when talking with Pat McAfee, that the rookie quarterback in particular needs those reps and needs those in-game reps. And so Drake May has yet to get more than three of those, right. I believe.
And I feel like Belichick is a topic here because there is a large national conversation about Nick Sirianni
mm-hmm.
and the future of the Eagles head coach. And that is a job that would be, I think Bill would salivate over, where you have the quarterback in Hurts, you have
Have the two of them kind of ironed out their issues, like Jalen Hurts had an issue with him.
With Sirianni?
Or, yes.
Yeah.
There was a divide there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've, you know, do they ever iron it out? Let's be honest. You know, there's an issue for whatever reason the divide is between Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. I don't. You know, so there's probably still a little bit bubbling under the surface, but there's going to be so many teams that we talk about that are going to be beating down Bill's door. I know a lot of teams were kind of like, eh, whatever, but because he's on Pat McAfee, because he's all over the place, I like Buffalo because they have a quarterback that's that second tier down from Patrick Mahomes, where I would say Jalen Hurts is still, you know, probably on that third tier of quarterback.
Can I ask a question when it comes to this week, though? Because last week it was the Carolina Panthers that mm-hmm. we saw in the preseason game, and everybody was talking about how we should be worried about Drake May, and that's why he didn't play, because you don't want him to get hurt. Well, now you're seeing a much more talented Eagles team, Wiggy.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we expect to see more from Drake May when the main focus from what we're hearing behind the scenes is that, you know, Jerod Mayo wants to protect him?
Well, see, this is where I'm confused. Like, I don't even know what they're doing with Drake May, because he gets reps in the first game, preseason game, with the ones, but he doesn't get that many reps in practice with the ones. So what's going to happen in the second preseason game, where you'd like to get, we all believe, based on what Mayo's telling us, Jacoby Brissett is the starter, right?
Well, no, I mean, Mayo is not, he's doing a good job of not saying anything.
But didn't he say he was?
He said he's going to, Drake May is going to get more reps this week, is what he said on Sunday.
So okay, who's the number one guy then?
They said Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
It's Jacoby Brissett, and this week, I think it's an opportunity. Courtney makes a good point. If you wanted to get Drake May live action
uh-huh.
in a game where he was less in peril,
right.
you would do it against the Panthers
yes.
backups, not the Eagles starters.
Well,
so what I think they're going to do is they're going to use the scrimmages today and tomorrow, or is it just today? Probably just today. The game's Thursday. They're not going to do a scrimmage the day
mm-hmm.
before a game. So today, my hope is they do even split first team with Brissett, first team with Drake May, because you control this. They're not going to hit the quarterbacks. The Patriots can't hit Hurts. They won't hit Brissett or
right.
Drake May, because it's a scrimmage with a red quarterback jersey on. So I hope that's the case, but everything that people close to the team say is that Drake May is not close to being ready.
If you buy that Jerod Mayo went into camp, or let's not even call it Jerod Mayo, Elliot Wolf, Alex Van Pelt, mm-hmm. the brain trust, the thought partners went into camp believing that Jacoby Brissett was the number one, but Drake May, do you think Drake May had a chance to change their mind?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it was.
He hasn't changed their mind.
Right.
Are you alarmed by the fact that he is the number three pick and has been unable to change their mind?
It is alarming that they're through camp to this point. There hasn't been a couple days where everybody was like, holy cow, we see why. There have been flashes.
Right.
There have been good throws. Shime has, you know, accurately pointed out that he's made some effortless deep ball passes, all that. It is August 13th.
Yes.
And so tomorrow, I mean, 2 days from now, they have their second preseason game. The final preseason game is basically irrelevant. So you really should see, if you want to see Drake May early, like I do, like Wiggy does, then you're going to want to see Drake May blow some people's minds today and play well Thursday for any shot that you're seeing.
But how do we see, the problem I have is, if he's not getting any reps or hasn't gotten many reps with the ones, how is he even having a fair opportunity to compete for the starting job when if most of his reps are coming with twos and threes? So when we watch this game on Thursday,
I mean, back to Mac, when Mac beat out your guy, the $30 million man.
Yes.
Cam Newton.
He did.
Did he have a fair opportunity?
Yeah, because he was getting reps with the ones. They were getting reps with the ones. Like, he was getting valuable reps with the ones. And so you're able to see him. Wasn't it that whole joint practice with Tennessee or, I forget, one of the teams where Cam had a lead?
Well, that's what I was going to say, because Max got plenty of reps in an equal opportunity, but it came after Cam went away for a little bit. So if that hadn't happened, we'll never know.
Right, but was he getting reps early?
Not as much after Cam left.
See, I'm not down there.
When he left, are you talking about when he got COVID?
Well, when he disappeared and we didn't know where he went, and we were speculating that maybe something had happened with the family, yeah, or what?
Like,
was
he
going
went
on
to go see a doctor.
Right. Went to Atlanta.
Yeah,
yeah,
for
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
right.
he got
he got COVID later.
Right.
Yeah, that was at the South Shore Plaza.
Yeah.
Buying a hat.
Yeah.
Were you there for that one as well, or
no,
the Bruins?
Not, no,
we were here. We were in Fenway Park doing the radio telethon when he was in Atlanta, and then the next day Patricia cut him. I mean, that was a legit back and forth. And you remember, it was at Gillette Stadium in the second preseason game. Cam stunk. Mac came into a raucous ovation.
Right.
Yeah. It was one of the cool moments of that period, and Mac earned the job. The first preseason game was just so disappointing because there are only three. There's really only two that you're going to utilize with any noticeable starters, and they blew it. They just didn't even try.
It made
right, but you have to ask the question, is it because that was their strategy all along, or has Shime's guy, Drake May, not lived up to the potential that they thought he would have lived
up to?
Well,
I don't know what potential
point
you can't live up to when you're not even getting reps with the ones. Like, there's no potential to live up to. There's nothing to even judge it against if you're not getting ample opportunity.
Right, and I would say, Shime, to the defense of Drake May, these J.J. McCarthy's, Caleb Williams,
right,
Michael Penix Jr., whoever, they were playing because their front office felt safe that the people they had put around them would do their job. The Patriots' offense is so bereft of talent that they don't trust the third pick overall, who's wet behind the ears, to play even in a preseason game against the worst team in the NFL's second stringers.
Yeah, but why did they put him in with the ones then? If you're afraid your offensive line stinks or you're worried about that, why is he even getting in with the ones?
They did one series to get him on there to make it appear as though
that
they're
what?
Playing
you
him
can get hit in on one play.
I agree.
So if you're concerned about your quarterback getting hurt, you're not even going to put him on the field.
Right.
They put him on the field with the ones. That's the confusing part to me. You get no real reps with the ones,
right,
and then all of a sudden in the first preseason game,
yeah,
you're in there with the ones.
Well, also, if you're concerned about your quarterback getting hurt, then you got to be concerned about Jacoby Brissett getting hurt, and,
right,
and you want Drake May to be able to step in there and do something.
Yeah, I can't wait till we know when we're going to have Mayo on.
We're going to be on
Monday.
Okay.
The 19th.
Yeah, we'll be at Gillette Stadium this Monday.
Okay.
With our very first Mayo Monday, and this is Rob from Swampscott. Hey, Rob.
Hi, folks. How you doing?
What's going on?
So, I actually have been listening, and I agree with Wiggy on this 100%, because if you're not giving this kid reps with the ones, he has no idea what the real speed and what it's going to feel like. If he's going against the other team's twos and threes with his twos in front of him, he's getting a false representation of what it's going to be like. And if you really want, now, here's the rub. What we don't know is what's going on in the quarterback's room when they're reviewing film, and they're saying, okay, if the defense is showing you this, Drake, what are you audible to? So we don't know how his mind is working in terms of what level of confidence he's relaying to them that he has in being able to read defenses.
Yeah.
So we got to get him ready, but it's also is, do we think he is ready to even get in that sandbox?
Well, again, it's Wiggy's right. It's perplexing because, and Scheim as well. Like, if you drafted him with the intention of him being your guy, don't you want to see him at least at some point during camp for a considerable amount of time with the ones to figure out if he's your guy?
You have to be looking at this team. When you signed Jacoby Brissett, you had to be saying, okay, we had four ones last year. What's he do for us? Like, what is Jacoby Brissett? We all might like him as a guy and as a person, but he's a career backup.
Right. He's in case of an emergency.
Yeah,
he's a good guy to have.
Do you look at him as a better, if you take the full body of work of Mac Jones, is Jacoby Brissett a better option than Mac Jones?
No, they're basically the same guy. They literally are the same guy. Like,
but is he a safer option? Like, he's not going to throw the ball away. He's not going to make mistakes that maybe you're going to see a rookie
make.
I don't think so.
I think when you look at it, and really that doesn't matter when you have the number three overall pick. Like, what are you doing here? And that's the thing that baffles me as a fan who watches this game and as somebody who's played the game. Bill said it himself, that Bill audio was great. You want the rookie, the young kid, to be able to get in and experience all the stuff that it comes with being behind an offensive line in a preseason game, and, you know, fly bullets are flying around. You want that, and you want that to be with the ones.
Well, you essentially have one quarter left to experience that, so let's hope it's Thursday.
Yeah, I don't even know how, because when I played, usually the third preseason game is the game that they said, okay, here's what the starters are going to do.
But you had four of them.
Yeah,
you have to look at the third as now being the fourth.
Right, okay, so then that means the second game, here's what they did when I was playing the third preseason game, which could be the second preseason game for the starters. You're playing the first half, we're going into the locker room, making some adjustments, coming out, and then you're playing another series just so you can get acclimated to playing a whole half, going in, and then coming out. What's that going to look like this game with who's the quarterback?
I don't know.
And were you still in Carolina in 04? Did you leave after 03? When you lost the Super Bowl the year after.
The year after that? Oh, no, I was in, where'd I go after that? Minnesota.
Okay, because they, 04, the third preseason game was a rematch of the Super Bowl, and it was like the craziest real game preseason game ever. But I think Thursday night you're going to see, I think we're going to be disappointed. I think we'll have a lot of questions for Jerod Mayo when when he joins us Monday.
How are the water activities in Minnesota? Did you ever get out on a boat or anything?
No, there's not much. I'm an ocean guy.
Oh.
If I am going to get out on a boat, I want to get out in the ocean.
All right. Well, we are at Fenway Park, and it is day number one of the 22nd annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. I'm watching a little bit of movement on the tote board, and we're going to be able to give you a new total momentarily. If you have given already this morning, thank you. We are staring right into the face of a $775,000 match from Rob Hale and his family. So we appear to be well over $100,000 this morning. So we are looking at least $120,000 that you have donated so far this morning.
$123,000.
That's unbelievable. Let's get to Courtney and what is trending.
Jason Veritek and David Ortiz join the Greg Hill Show this morning at 9:30. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox take the first of their series with the Rangers. Final score 5-4 at Fenway. Brian Baio went six innings, giving up one run on four hits while striking out five. Here's Alex Cora, who was very pleased with the win over the Rangers, as featured on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Baio was good. We didn't execute one pitch. They tie the game. We just keep grinding, you know. Mixing and matching. Felt like fifth or sixth inning was a big moment there. We've been chit. We tried to be aggressive. We got the lead. Marty was good. Kenley was good. Wink took everybody, you know. And that at bat by Mickey, you know, like in that moment and to be able to walk, you know, that was impressive. That's the reason he's here. It was fun to watch, man. We're playing with kids. Playing with kids in the middle of trying to make it to the playoff. You look around, you're like, wow, this is really happening here.
Hurry in. Epic offers are going fast at the Nissan Thrill of Summer Sales event. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. Another one with the Rangers tonight. 7:10 first pitch with Cutter Crawford getting the start. You can hang out with Joe Weil at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Joe Castiglione and Sean McDonough have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. That is what's trending, and it was brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. It's the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 67 degrees outside, Gregory. A beautiful day in Boston. Afternoon high, sunny in the low 80s.
It was cold this morning, Curtis.
Fall is coming.
It was depressing.
It smelled like fall.
I think it was 62 degrees when I went out this morning for my old man walk.
I love it.
You're looking svelte.
Thank you. Yeah. I said that yesterday. I appreciate you saying it again today. Thank you. Maybe I'll have an extra slice of bacon now that you said that.
I don't know if you know about radio. The audience changes every 15 minutes.
All right. We are at Fenway Park, and the two most important days of the year on this radio station, the 22nd annual WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. We will be right back.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Well, we are at Fenway Park all day here at WEEI, all day today and all day tomorrow for the 22nd annual Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. So far this morning, you've donated over $123,000. We have a match sitting out there from the great Rob Hale of $775,000. If we can get that If you can donate that by the end of our show tomorrow. So those of you who've already given, thank you so much. It's such an incredible couple days here when we get to do this every year and get to see how generous you are. So if you have yet to give, you could call 877-738-1234. That's 877-738-1234. You can go online and give when you go to jimmyfund.org and give that way, or you can text to give. Just text KCANCER to 20222 to donate $25. Just heard during the break about a couple amazing donations. I want to thank the Celtics and the Shamrock Foundation, who just donated $25,000 to our cause. And a good friend of the show, BJ Harvey, and the whole EL Harvey team, who just donated $5,000.
Oh, so that's
basically
awesome.
Me, because I'm a part of their team, too.
Curtis.
I did work
Yes,
them.
It's because you've worked in the trash receiver.
Sanitation
industry.
Yes.
Yes, and you're willing to do it again if necessary.
For $5,000.
For another $5,000.
Yep.
I just want to get, let's get that on record then.
Let's do it.
Okay, so if BJ gives another $5,
yes,
then you will be on a trash truck before you go on vacation.
I don't know if you know this. I have a son, his favorite show, Trash Truck.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
Well, there you go. I would actually be someone he'd looked up to one
there
day.
There you all go. Right. Well, if you're ever wondering where your money goes and what can be accomplished, our next guest can tell you a little bit about that. I want to welcome Dr. Christopher Lathan to the show, Chief Clinical Access and Equity Officer and Founding Director of the Cancer Care Equity Program at Dana-Farber. Doctor, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you guys for having me. It's always a pleasure, and I just want to say that this event is so impactful for everything that we do. So I'm just so happy to see that board number going up and up and up.
Yeah, well, we want to get it. We have a $775,000 match sitting there, so I'm hoping to watch it rise as the morning goes along. And I was reading a little bit about what you do, and it was so interesting to me that when you think about treatment and the success of that treatment, it can be affected by factors such as access and factors such as class. Yeah. And so in looking at that, and I know you've been spending a lot of time and doing a lot of research on this, you find that those who may be in a different class structure may not find the same access that the rest of us can find when it comes to getting help when we're fighting this.
Absolutely. I mean, what you know is, cancer doesn't care what color you are, how much money you have, right? It doesn't care about that. Unfortunately, right, what we know is that the access to the care that you get is, blocked by different things. It's blocked by a lot of different barriers. And I think for me, I grew up in Springfield, Mass. And my dad worked in a factory his whole life.
Shout out Springfield.
Hey,
the 413.
413. Look at
the
you.
413.
We love Springfield.
They're listening out there. Yeah.
Hey, all right. I see you. I think, in that, to me, looking at working folks, right? Working folks, and the way I looked at it is, when you are working a job every day and it matters when you go, if you take a day off, you don't get paid. And that's what I saw when I started to come and work at the Dana-Farber. There are folks who can always access their care, right? If you get a diagnosis, you make your way and you get a second opinion and you move forward. But there are folks, whether you're in Roxbury, Dorchester, Eastie, wherever you are, they're working and they just don't get the same opportunities. And that's what I wanted to focus on. I wanted to get an opportunity to make sure that everybody could get in here and get this world-class care.
And how have you been able to do that? What are you guys doing at Dana-Farber? Because it's so interesting to me. That crosses all, when you look at race, that crosses all racial barriers. You can be black, white, whatever, and have to work and be unable to take a day off for treatment.
That's right. That's why I say it's not, look, all these barriers come into it, but I grew up with a lot of working folks of all colors, and they had the same struggles. And so what we did is two things. One, we started to ask our question, for cancer care in adults, because I'm an adult oncologist, I treat lung cancer patients. I found that, when people wanted to get a diagnosis, they had to have it all wrapped up nicely. So you go to your primary care doc and they do some tests and then you get a biopsy and then you could come see me. But I thought, well, what if we went to the clinics? You know, what if we went to some of the clinics that were in the area, and then we asked the primary care docs, why don't you send the stuff to us when you have a question? And then we can answer questions, and hopefully you don't have cancer. But if you do have cancer, we can expedite the process. So we started with our outreach or diagnostic clinics, you know, in some of what we call the federally qualified health centers. These are health centers that are specifically built to take care of the community. So we wanted to bring it to them as opposed to saying, our doors are open, come in. We wanted to do both.
And go to them where it's more convenient for them, and they are able to still, when it comes to parenting and to working, they're able to still do those things while the treatment or even the assessment comes to them, the diagnosis comes to them.
Right.
Yeah.
The question I was going to ask is, Doc, is how do you help out a lot of people? Because you start to see a lot of people that, you know, they might not have insurance, and a lot don't even have primary care physicians.
That's right.
So how do you get to helping out those people that need to be screened, but they don't have the ability to get screened?
So, you know, Wiggy, this is one of the things that we try to get out in front of it. So you're right. Some people don't have a primary care doc, and those are the folks who sometimes will use the free clinics a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get out into the clinics and then we educate folks, but then we also reach out, we do community events, we talk to people, and then we let people know Dana-Farber's door is open. Because the other thing that would happen is people would think, well, that place isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the truth, but people don't know that. So I think if we know that and they see us out in the community repeatedly, not just once or twice, but when you're there, then people are able to come in. And so we do, there's a screening van that one of my colleagues, Magnolia Contreras, and the community health group, they actually go out and they do screening for folks who don't have primary care. So there's a lot of different opportunities for us to get to folks. And then I try to take them if they do have a question and bring them in.
It's amazing how much you've already done, because when I say we live in Boston and we take it for granted for having these hospitals, this high level care in our backyard, but there are people that are in Boston that don't even have that access. Where do you hope to see it in 10 years? In 10 years from now, how do you hope that people have better access to this care?
Yeah, so what I'd like to see is that things are built into the structure. Because right now it's taking, I have an incredible team of folks that work with us, and we do a lot of work and a lot of outreach. What I want to see is it built in. When it's dependent on individuals, we have navigators, we work with a lot of different folks. I want to make it so that, you know, it's an automated process in a sense that you come in, you get a procedure, the procedure shows that it's abnormal, then you are automatically connected to somebody who can move things through, instead of, you know, having to go to someone or having someone to build a process for you. I want to automate that as much as possible. And it can be done with navigators and other things. There's ways to do this. And of course, as our technology continues to get better and better and better, our treatments are so much better. So it really matters if we can get you in, see the right folks earlier, and you can get this world-class care. It's really incredible.
Do you feel like, and I we talked earlier about some of those that we know that are fighting this right now and their experience, and from time to time, I think there becomes a frustration level, and it's not on primary care doctors or those that are who have every great intention, but it sometimes seems like it's hard when you're not feeling well to get to where you need to be at Dana-Farber or otherwise. Does the medical industry in general need to do a better job with that?
Yes. So I say all the time that, you know, there's this thought that you're going to get this, you have a cancer diagnosis and you stop your life. Well, this is what I know. People still have mortgages. They still have family members who are not well. And sometimes the people who are working the hardest, the cancer is not the most important thing in their life at that minute. And it's hard for doctors like me. You come to see me and I want to treat your cancer. But if I don't take into account what's happening in your life, then I go, well, why didn't so-and-so show? I'll tell you a really quick story. When I was a trainee, I saw a woman who came to see us. She waited about 2 hours to see us. We were running late. It was a lung cancer clinic. We could treat
that
her.
Never happens at the doctor's office, by the way.
I'm just telling you, I might run a little late, but I give you all my time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I do. You get all my time. So
Greg always breaks on time.
We talked to her and we gave her our whole plan. We were trying to cure the cancer with chemotherapy and radiation. And she listened to me politely and she said, no, thank you. And then the senior physician who I was working with, as we walked out, we were all really confused. Like, why did she wait 2 hours? And then say no. So I went back and I asked her. I said, "You just want to know." And she said, "Well, I'm about to adopt my granddaughter. The court date that you gave is right when we're doing the radiation, and I'd rather die than miss that court date." I said, "Ah, well, we can change when we give the radiation." And she said, oh, okay, I could do it. And that was a white woman from Southie. And I tell you that because it's not just about race. It's about class. And I recognize it because I grew up in communities like that. I'm like, there's a reason. And if we don't ask, then we won't know.
Yeah. Great on you for doing that. And are you somebody who believe if you're not feeling well and you're dealing with your primary doctor, whomever, and they're not figuring it out, is it really important for you to keep going back and keep asking for, you know, more? And
yeah, I call it follow. You want to follow the no or follow the why. You want to be respectful because sometimes people know exactly why they're saying no. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to badger them if they say no. But what I do is leave that door open. Right. So I ask why. I try to understand. And some people might say, I don't want that right now. I say, OK, well, can I call you again maybe in a week? And I also try to figure out what's the family structure. Because if there's a person there by themselves, there's auntie, uncle, brother, cousin, sister somewhere else that might not know what's going on. And if I can get their permission to talk to them, right? We all have family members like this, right? That we have to go and get them and say, can you come in to the doctor? And I'm going to go take care of them with you. So I try to ask, and make sure I can address the issues.
And what you do, doctor, with lung cancer, where are we today? Like, so people are listening and they're wondering where their money's going.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of research, what has shifted in the last several years in terms of the ability to prolong life or cure the lung cancer you're treating?
So this is an incredible story, right? Because the money that people give, and you talk about the therapies, when I started my training in 2002, basically there was chemotherapy, and if you had an early stage lung cancer, we could cut it out and we could cure it. But that was only about 20% of people. So most people were going to have some sort of advanced cancer, and then our tools were terrible. And then over a period of time, we came up with more targeted therapies where we could look at the molecular signatures of lung cancer, and some people we could treat with a pill. And this one of my colleagues, I was right next to him. He sat right next to him in clinic, and he and his team developed these approaches. And then we have immunotherapy, which also is another incredible tool. And then we started to stack these things together. So now I try to get a sense of, it's not just you have lung cancer. I need to know what your molecular signature of your lung cancer is, and I can try to address the right treatment for you. So we've been able to make incredible advances in our therapy. We're not where we need to be yet, but we made so much of a difference. Whereas you used to walk into my clinic, I just roll out some chemo. No, now I need to know your molecular signature. I need to know the histology of your cancer, and I'm going to match it the best I can to the therapies, and it matters. It matters. People can have more cures, but also even if we can't cure the cancer, I have patients who, and Barry Nelson is one of my patients who sometimes comes, he actually had a metastatic lung cancer. We treated him with immunotherapy. It's been 7 years since he stopped his treatment, and he's living his life.
Wow.
So that didn't happen before.
That's incredible. Last one from me, and not, I know it's not research-based, but it's highly educated, doing this a long time-based opinion. I have two kids, 27, 24 years old. There is a massive increase when it comes to our younger adults, yeah, who are being diagnosed with cancer. Guess at why that is going on?
Yeah, a lot of people are trying to look at exactly why this is. We're not sure is a short answer.
It's terrifying.
Something new is happening, and there's a lot of people. Is it environmental? Is it, you know, what is happening that we don't know? Well, we see this in colon cancer. We see this in some of our sarcomas. We do see a higher incidence of cancer in our younger folks, and actually a little less in older folks. Now, still the vast amount of folks, the highest risk for cancer is age, honestly. And, you know, as that's really still the highest amount of numbers. But we are seeing this, and we don't exactly know. And, you know, I think this is where the next phase of research is going to be. Is it, again, is it environmental? Is there other things that are impacting
food, diet-based, or, you know, the preservatives in food or whatever?
Those are things that we think about, but it's probably, as always, something, it's like that and more, right? There's got to be something else that we're probably missing, but people are working on it. And I don't know the reason, but we definitely see it.
All right. Well, it's so great to speak with you. You're doing incredible stuff. So thanks for sharing some of that with us this morning.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
All right. We are at Fenway Park. It is day number one of the 22nd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Over $123,000 you have given so far this morning. Thank you for that. We are going to talk with David Ortiz and Jason Veritek coming up at 9:30. But first, we'll be joined next by Sam Kennedy, the president of the Boston Red Sox. We are at Fenway Park, as we always are every summer for these two incredibly important days, the annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Front office report this week with Sam Kennedy, brought to you by Time Out Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarket.com. Also brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. And the president of the Boston Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, joins us this morning. Sam, this relationship between the Red Sox and the Jimmy Fund began before you or even I, believe it or not, were on this planet Earth in 1953. That's a pretty incredible long-term relationship.
It's been remarkable, Greg. 71 years and counting. I think it has to be the longest-standing relationship between a professional sports organization and a charitable organization, and it's just synonymous with the Red Sox and our history going all the way back to the days of Ted Williams. It's been an amazing relationship and one that I know will continue for forever. But growing up here in New England as a kid, you know, you knew about the Jimmy Fund the minute you were introduced to the Boston Red Sox. So it's been a great partnership, and these are two of the best days of the year for sure.
We're going to have David Ortiz and Jason Veritek on together next hour at 9:30. Both of those guys actively involved.
Get the mute button ready. You produce it.
Actively involved since they arrived here with the Jimmy Fund. And it reminds me also of Tim Wakefield. And Tim Wakefield loved this event, loved working with the Jimmy Fund, and fought so hard for the patients and fought so hard himself. And I know that a part of what you guys are thinking about this particular year is Tim and Stacy and Larry Lucchino as well.
Yeah, thanks, Greg, for raising Stacy and Tim and Larry to the front of mind for all of all your listeners and all of Red Sox Nation. It's been a massive loss, a year of losses for the Red Sox family. Losing Tim and Stacy last fall and winter was just we've all heard so many tragic stories from this horrific disease, but Stacy's diagnosis came and it was incredibly bleak, and none of us knew that Wake was also dealing with brain cancer, and it was just unthinkable to think about a family and the loss happening like that so quickly. It's just been awful. And Larry Lucchino, a four-time cancer survivor, obviously the glue of the Red Sox organization and this ownership group. When we all came together with John and Tom back in 2001, he was the Jimmy Fund chairman for so long. And it's remarkable. I still can't believe that he's gone and that Stacy and Tim are gone. So we're going to dedicate our Partners Challenge, which we do every year, to Larry, and the gifts that we raise from our partners over the next couple days will go to the Larry Lucchino Family Fund within the Dana-Farber. But it's just been an amazing period of loss and a reminder why we have to encourage everyone in Red Sox Nation and all your incredibly generous listeners and our viewers on Nesson to give. Larry had a saying, give until it hurts. And we really want everyone to step up and continue his legacy and make a donation. We really appreciate everyone getting involved.
You know, Sam, I think back to, you know, there's been a lot of losses. There's been a lot of great people that have passed. There's been unbelievable two decades of success that have been well documented and chronicled, but I don't recall a deeper feeling of sadness among all Red Sox fans, the people in the media, the people that follow the team, of any athlete in my lifetime like it was when Tim Wakefield passed. I just think he embodied so much of what people here prioritize: selfless, dedicated. He did the 1 year annual recurring team option, the way that he took care of so many kids. I just think Tim Wakefield was just so unique, and I don't know if we say we took it for granted, but
in his passing, I think the true appreciation really was what resonated with Red Sox fans.
You know, Chris, I couldn't agree with you more. You're absolutely right. He was just, he embodied what our organization strives to be all about. You know, starting as a positional player in the minor leagues, realized that that wasn't going to be his path to the big leagues, worked his butt off to reinvent himself. He becomes a Red Sox Hall of Famer with that knuckleball, and then doing what he did throughout the postseason years with what just coming in whenever we needed him, and then stepping up, as you said, as a player that always put everybody else first. He put his family first, never more evidenced by receiving the worst diagnosis you can receive regarding a family member, his wife Stacy. He was by her side, helping her healing and leading their family through all of this. And I'll never forget, you know, late in August, we didn't know. I literally was with him and a couple other people at a Red Sox golf outing. And, you know, he was telling us about Stacy and what he was dealing with. And he said, you know, I've been having some blurred vision. I'm going to go get it checked out. And it was literally 3 weeks later and he was gone. And it just shows you how wicked this disease is. And you're right. The sadness and the outpouring from all corners of not just the Red Sox Nation, but the baseball world, the professional sports world, was extraordinary. And I think it was because the world knew how important Tim was to our franchise and more importantly to this region. And he loved the Jimmy Fund. He loved everybody there, Lisa Sherber, the doctors, the kids, and everyone who took care of him and Stacy. We say thank you and let's keep their legacy and honor what Tim Wakefield and Stacy Wakefield were all about.
Well, you mentioned the Partners Challenge. Will there be some sort of a partners raise over the next couple of weeks to the tune of about $4.5 or $5 billion, Sam, to purchase a basketball team that might be available?
You know, these media stories, we don't know where they come from, but they pick up momentum. Let's raise all that money and give it to the Jimmy Fund and the Dana-Farber. We're focused on that, and we're focused on the end of the baseball season here. And by the way, I want to thank, speaking of the Celtics, I just heard their donation, and Rob Hale, just incredible, and everyone steps up. The Kraft family, the Jacobs family. This is a sports community-wide effort. I'm lucky to be a part of this sports community here and thank all the teams and their leadership group for getting involved.
I mean, how about just a tiny nugget? Is there is there some sort of renewed – if there wasn't interest before, is there renewed interest again? Or are you just – I mean, are you kicking the tires? I mean, you'd be dumb not to, kind of, like, you know –
Are there any more questions coming out of that radio booth related to the Dana-Farber, the Jimmy Fund?
Yeah.
This incredible organization.
I'll tell you this. Sam, Wiggy went on the air at 6 a.m. Effervescently expressing his desire that you buy the Celtics. So that bag of merch, the bag of merch that you gave him at spring training is going to pay off all year long. Let me just tell you that.
Wiggy, you and I are in together. We just need a couple $1 billion and we're off to the races.
Old Ken's in. So there you go.
I got a couple hundred. I can. I only need a small percent.
Sam, I have one when it comes to the Jimmy Fund, because it is remarkable how every single year, players for the Red Sox, both past, present, and I'm sure in the future, are so involved when it comes to Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund. How do you do that as an organization? How do you get players to buy in every single year, especially players that may be from other parts of the country, other parts of the world, that maybe have never heard of the Jimmy Fund before?
Yeah, it is remarkable. I mean, it started with Ted Williams, right? I mean, he took a personal interest in what was happening down the road at the Dana-Farber, and then you know, guys like Dom DiMaggio and Johnny Pesky took the torch, and then Yaz and Mo Vaughn and Trot Nixon, and obviously Wake and Poppy and Dustin, and more recently Brock Holt. And we've got Garrett Whitlock this year as our captain. What we try to do with our rookie program, when guys that are on the at the AAA level and are likely to be promoted, we have a rookie development program every winter at Fenway. And a visit to the Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund is a fundamental part of that rookie development program. So they come in and we talk about the organization's values and the connection to the Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund, and we have a visit. And so I think at, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, our players are exposed to this, and they see these legends of the Red Sox and these icons that have been a part of this for so many decades, and just naturally they want to get involved. It's not forced. It's not anything other than an authentic desire to help out. And guys really, really get into it. I think they realize how fortunate they are to be doing what they're doing. And it's just something that comes naturally because it's such a embedded part of what we do at the Red Sox.
A little bit of business. The team has suspended Jarren Duran for a couple games. You're just from your perspective, I know he's been very remorseful and regrets what happened, and sounds like he learned a lesson here. Just kind of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was a really tough day for the Red Sox and our organization, just because we work so hard to stress inclusivity and a sense of belonging. And I really think we've been a leader in this area for several decades. And so when you have a setback like that, you have to take it as a learning moment for the organization. I can tell you from spending time with Jarren yesterday, he is incredibly remorseful. He understands the language he used was unacceptable. And he'll grow from it, and we'll all grow from it. He's received the suspension, and he'll get through that, and then we'll move on. But it's just a reminder of why we do the work that we do, and we'll move forward, and hopefully we'll grow and get better from it.
Well, it's extraordinary. I know you've been here for all 22 years of this radio telethon, over $70 million raised. What the Red Sox do when it comes to the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber is unequaled, as you mentioned earlier, anywhere in the country. And so congratulations and thanks to the whole organization. And we appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning and talk a little bit about it.
Thanks so much, guys, and thanks to you for all you guys are doing. Let's make it a great couple of days, and we'll see you around 11 o'clock as we celebrate the amazing life of Larry Lucchino. Looking forward to that.
All right, Sam Kennedy, thank you very much. $138,222 is what you've given so far. So we got another hour left to go here. We'll be joined by David Ortiz and Jason Veritek coming up at 9:30, and we'll be right back from Fenway Park.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with MyBlinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We are at Fenway Park, as we always are every summer for these two incredibly important days, the annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Front office report this week with Sam Kennedy, brought to you by Time Out Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarket.com. Also brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. And the president of the Boston Red Sox, Sam Kennedy. Kennedy joins us this morning. Sam, this relationship between the Red Sox and the Jimmy Fund began before you or even I, believe it or not, were on this planet Earth in 1953. That's a pretty incredible long-term relationship.
It's been remarkable, Greg. 71 years and counting. I think it has to be the longest-standing relationship between a professional sports organization and a charitable organization, and it's just synonymous with the Red Sox and our history going all the way back to the days of Ted Williams. It's been an amazing relationship and one that I know will continue for forever. But growing up here in New England as a kid, you know, you knew about the Jimmy Fund the minute you were introduced to the Boston Red Sox. So it's been a great partnership, and these are two of the best days of the year for sure.
We're going to have David Ortiz and Jason Veritek on together next hour at 9:30. Both of those guys actively involved.
Get the mute button ready. You producers.
Actively involved since they arrived here with the Jimmy Fund. And it reminds me also of Tim Wakefield. And Tim Wakefield loved this event, loved working with the Jimmy Fund, and fought so hard for the patients and fought so hard himself. And I know that a part of what you guys are thinking about this particular year is Tim and Stacy and Larry Lucchino as well.
Yeah, thanks, Greg, for raising Stacy and Tim and Larry to the front of mind for all of all your listeners and all of Red Sox Nation. It's been a massive loss, a year of losses for the Red Sox family. Losing Tim and Stacy last fall and winter was just we've all heard so many tragic stories from this horrific disease, but Stacy's diagnosis came and it was incredibly bleak, and none of us knew that Wake was also dealing with brain cancer, and it was just unthinkable to think about a family and the loss happening like that so quickly. It's just been awful. And Larry Lucchino, a four-time cancer survivor, obviously the glue of the Red Sox organization and this ownership group, when we all came together with John and Tom back in 2001. He was the Jimmy Fund chairman for so long, and it's remarkable. I still can't believe that that he's gone and that Stacy and Tim are gone. So we're going to dedicate our Partners Challenge, which we do every year, to Larry, and the gifts that we raise from our partners over the next couple days will go to the Larry Lucchino Family Fund within the Dana-Farber. But it's just been an amazing period of loss and a reminder why we have to encourage everyone in Red Sox Nation and all your incredibly generous listeners and our viewers on NESN to give. Larry had a saying, give until it hurts. And we really want everyone to step up and continue his legacy and make a donation. We really appreciate everyone getting involved.
You know, Sam, I think back to, you know, there's been a lot of losses. There's been a lot of great people that have passed. There's been unbelievable two decades of success that have been well-documented and chronicled. But I don't recall a deeper feeling of sadness among all Red Sox fans, the people in the media, the people that follow the team, of any athlete in my lifetime like it was when Tim Wakefield passed. I just think he embodied so much of what people here prioritize. Selfless, dedicated. He did the one-year annual recurring team option, the way that he took care of so many kids. I just think Tim Wakefield was just so unique, and I don't know if we say we took it for granted, but in his passing, I think the true appreciation really was what resonated with Red Sox fans.
You know, Chris, I couldn't agree with you more. You're absolutely right. He was just, he embodied what our organization strives to be all about. You know, starting as a positional player in the minor leagues, realized that wasn't going to be his path to the big leagues, worked his butt off to reinvent himself. He becomes a Red Sox Hall of Famer with that knuckleball, and then doing what he did throughout the postseason years with what just coming in whenever we needed him, and then stepping up, as you said, as a player that always put everybody else first. He put his family first, never more evidenced by receiving the worst diagnosis you can receive regarding a family member, his wife, Stacy. He was by her side, helping her healing and leading their family through all of this. And I'll never forget, you know, late in August, we didn't know. I literally was with him and a couple other people at a Red Sox golf outing. And, you know, he was telling us about Stacy and what he was dealing with. And he said, you know, I've been having some blurred vision. I'm going to go get it checked out. And it was literally 3 weeks later, and he was gone. And it just shows you how wicked this disease is. And you're right, the sadness and the outpouring from all corners of not just the Red Sox Nation, but the baseball world, the professional sports world, was extraordinary. And I think it was because the world knew how important Tim was to our franchise and more importantly to this region. And he loved the Jimmy Fund. He loved everybody there, Lisa Sherber, the doctors, the kids, and everyone who took care of him and Stacy. We say thank you, and let's keep their legacy and honor what Tim Wakefield and Stacy Wakefield were all about.
Well, you mentioned the Partners Challenge. Will there be some sort of a partners raise over the next couple of weeks to the tune of about $4.5 or $5 billion, Sam, to purchase a basketball team that might be available?
You know, these media stories, we don't know where they come from, but they pick up momentum. Let's raise all that money and give it to the Jimmy Fund and the Dana-Farber. We're focused on that, and we're focused on the end of the baseball season here. And by the way, I want to thank, speaking of the Celtics, I just heard their donation, and Rob Hale, just incredible, and everyone steps up, the Kraft family, the Jacobs family. This is a sports community-wide effort. To be lucky to be a part of this sports community here, and thank all the teams and their leadership group for getting involved.
I mean, how about just a tiny nugget? Is there Is there some sort of renewed? If there wasn't interest before, is there renewed interest again? Or are you just? I mean, are you kicking the tires? I mean, you'd be dumb not to. Kind of, like, you know.
Are there any more questions coming out of that radio booth related to the Dana Farber, the Jimmy Fund?
Yeah.
Existing
well,
incredible
I'll tell
organization.
You, I'll good, tell you this, I, Sam. Wiggy went on the air at 6 a.m., like, effervescently expressing his desire that you buy the Celtics. So that bag of merch, the bag of merch that you gave him at spring training is going to pay off all year long. Let me just tell you that.
Wiggy, you and I are in together. We just need a couple billion dollars, and we're off to the races.
Well, Ken's in, so there you go.
I got a couple hundred I can I only need a small percent.
Sam, I have one when it comes to the Jimmy Fund, because it is remarkable how every single year players for the Red Sox, both past, present, and I'm sure in the future, are so involved when it comes to Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund. How do you do that as an organization? How do you get players to buy in every single year, especially players that may be from other parts of the country, other parts of the world, that maybe have never heard of the Jimmy Fund before?
Yeah, it is remarkable. I mean, it started with Ted Williams, right? I mean, he took a personal interest in what was happening down the road at the Dana-Farber, and then, you know, guys like Dom DiMaggio and Johnny Pesky took the torch, and then Yaz and Mo Vaughn and Trot Nixon and obviously Wake and Poppy and Dustin and more recently Brock Holt, and we've got Garrett Whitlock this year as our captain. What we try to do with our rookie program when guys that are on the at the AAA level and are likely to be promoted, we have a rookie development program every winter at Fenway, and a visit to the Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund is a fundamental part of that rookie development program. So they come in and we talk about the organization's values and the connection to the Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund, and we have a visit. And so I think at, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, our players are exposed to this, and they see these legends of the Red Sox and these icons that have been a part of this for so many decades, and just naturally they want to get involved. It's not forced. It's not anything other than an authentic desire to help out, and guys really, really get into it. I think they realize how fortunate they are to be doing what they're doing, and it's just something that comes naturally because it's such a embedded part of what we do at the Red Sox.
A little bit of business. The team has suspended Jarren Duran for a couple games. You're just from your perspective. I know he's been very remorseful and regrets what happened, and sounds like he learned a lesson here. Just kind of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it was a really tough day for the Red Sox and our organization, just because we work so hard to stress inclusivity and a sense of belonging. And I really think we've been a leader in this area for several decades. And so when you have a setback like that, you have to take it as a learning moment for the organization. I can tell you from spending time with Jarren yesterday, he is incredibly remorseful. He understands the language he used was unacceptable, and he'll grow from it, and we'll all grow from it. He's received the suspension, and he'll get through that, and then we'll move on. But it's just a reminder of why we do the work that we do, and we'll move forward, and hopefully we'll grow and get better from it.
Well, it's extraordinary. I know you've been here for all 22 years of this radio telethon, over $70 million raised. What the Red Sox do when it comes to the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber is unequaled, as you mentioned earlier, anywhere in the country. And so congratulations and thanks to the whole organization. And we appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning and talk a little bit about it.
Thanks so much, guys, and thanks to you for all you guys are doing. Let's make it a great couple of days, and we'll see you around 11 o'clock as we celebrate the amazing life of Larry Lucchino. Looking forward to that.
All right, Sam Kennedy, thank you very much. $138,222 is what you've given so far. So we got another hour left to go here. We'll be joined by David Ortiz and Jason Veritek coming up at 9:30, and we'll be right back from Fenway Park.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.